Thank you, Graham. That's great. Well, over the past 3 weeks, we have had three anthems, and we've got one more today, and then we'll be having a special time on Christmas Day. And I thought just at the start today, we might think for a moment about what is an anthem. Now, I had to go to the dictionary to be sure that I got the right meaning of what an anthem is. But it is a rousing or an uplifting song identified with a particular group, body, or cause. And then I got thinking, well, when do we sing anthems? And when I thought about the rousing and uplifting song, I couldn't help but think about the football. You see, as you probably all know, at the footy, at the end of the game, whoever the team is that's won, out in the music box, somewhere in the IT hole, wherever that might be, they then play the anthem of the team that has won. And then the crowd all begins to sing along and to be very much a part of all of that. Then the team leaves, so I see on the screen, I haven't personally been there myself, and they go off into the club rooms. And then you know what happens? They get in a holy huddle together, put their arms around one another, and then the footy team that's won, just the players, beeps out, whoa, with great gusto, their team anthem. And then I was thinking, well, what is the AFL anthem? We hear it. I don't know that it's an official anthem, but I thought, up there, yes, Ross is enjoying this, up there, gazelle, in there and fight. I'll stop there or you might all go home. But we get the feeling that's sung with great gusto, and it wouldn't be AFL Grand Final Day if we didn't hear that anthem. When I was a girl at school, we used to sing the Australian National Anthem on Monday morning at school assembly. Now, it's a long time since I went to school. It was God Save the Queen then. But in 1974, we got a new anthem, Advance Australia Fair. I was wondering, do they still sing the national anthem at school these days? Oh, we've got some teachers here today. They do at your school. Do they at your school? No, so it must depend on the school. Okay, well, there we go. No wonder half the people in the world don't know the words to Advance Australia Fair, not rooted in them. I can't help but notice when our teams play international games, before they start, you know, each team lines up and they play the national anthem of that country. Have you ever noticed what the Aussie team does when the national anthem is being played? I reckon they stand there like this. Heads down, and there's a mumble or there's absolutely nothing. And yet, just pause for a moment when you're watching that sort of thing. Look at the opposing team. And so many times, here's the opposing team singing their national anthem with great gusto, rousing and an uplifting song, because a national anthem is meant to bring out the pride of your nation as you sing it. I wonder if you saw the Argentinos when they won their preliminary final. Oh my, the national anthem then was sung with great gusto, and there'll be another national anthem sung tomorrow at the grand final of the World Cup, and we'll see who that will be. But I've just got a few little things to think about against national anthems now, just to wrap up this little segment. I wonder if you know what was the very first national anthem ever declared. And Woody, I'm expecting you will know the answer to this question. What is your national anthem? Well, I know you're a biased citizen. That Star Spangled Banner, thank you, Carrie. you must have learnt that at school too, like I did. Yes, that is the first national anthem ever to be declared was by the United States. But the oldest and the shortest national anthem, and I'm thinking that Veronica might have already learnt this one. Yes, maybe they didn't learn it when they were there. Other guests from Japan. But it's Japan. that has just a one-verse national anthem. And the words of Japan's national anthem were actually written almost over 1,000 years ago from a poem that's been put in. But I'm awfully glad I don't live in Uruguay. That is the longest national anthem. It's got 105 bars of music. Imagine that. And there are four countries in the world that actually have no lyrics in their national anthem. But I don't think that probably matters, because it's the music that, when it's played, rises up and encourages that incredible sense of belonging to a nation and a spirit of national pride. And I guess we can see, as we've thought about some of these national anthems, that there are a great variety of styles and lengths of songs, but underneath all of those national anthems is a spirit of national pride that rises when an anthem is played, and the connection that it brings for the people. But there is a second meaning to anthems that I want us to look at this morning too, and that is a musical setting of religious text to be sung by a choir during a church service. Maybe some of you have been in churches where anthems like this have been sung by the choirs. And the anthems that we've already looked at over the last 3 weeks were sung or spoken, and they do contain religious texts, that is, words from God. That's what gives these anthems such a power. We've had three already, and I'm just going to do a little recap on those anthems that we've had. You know, Mary sung the first one that we looked at. When she knew she was pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God, she was visiting Elizabeth, who was her cousin, who also was pregnant, an amazing miracle that was, with her son that was to be named John, and we know him as John the Baptist. And when Elizabeth honoured Mary for her faith, Mary then launched into this amazing song that is recorded in Luke 1. And then we go to Zechariah. When he got his voice back at the birth of his son John, he sang a song and he prophesied about Jesus, who would be our saviour. And he had a word too about his son who would prepare the way for Jesus. And the third one was the angels. They sang to the shepherds out in the hills of Bethlehem. And it was not just one that sang, it was a whole host of angels that sang in the sky, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Well, three really great anthems we've had this far, all spoken to specific people. And yet here we are today, 2,000 years on, we're still talking about them and they still point us to Jesus. Well, where did all these anthems take place? Mary's was in a house. Zechariah's could have been in a home too, with a very close little group of people, our family around them. And of course the angels, well, they were outside on the Bethlehem hills. And we've got just one more to go this morning in this series, and it is entitled Revelation. And today's anthem was spoken in the Jerusalem temple. And we've got two people in today's readings, and their names are Simeon and Anna. You know, there are many people in the Bible who are nameless, and they've got great stories about them. And I find it so amazing that this story tells us and gives us the names of Simeon and Anna. This is the only place in the Bible you will read of Simeon and Anna. They have just a little tiny picture of them, but oh my, what a story they have to tell. And there will be a very special revelation to both of them. The dictionary meaning of the word revelation is a surprising and previously unknown fact disclosed to others in a supernatural way. And keep looking for it. That's exactly what happened to Simeon and to Anna. Let's look first at Simeon. He was, we know about him from what the Bible tells us, he was righteous and devout. And that means he behaved well towards man and well towards God. And he was waiting with hope, waiting for the consolation of Israel. There had been 400 years of silence from the last book in the Old Testament until we get the setting of the story that we are looking at today. And there had been no words of prophecy. And yet Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen Christ. What an amazing hope to hang on to in the midst of what would almost seem hard to believe. And he was moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a key factor in the life of Simeon. Three times in that reading we had today where the Holy Spirit is mentioned in a very powerful way. And Simeon comes into the temple at the exact time that Joseph and Mary were there to make an offering to God, and they connected. This was God's timing, absolutely. I wonder if you've ever had an experience like that. You know, you've been praying about someone, thinking about someone, concerned about them. You go down to Eastland with all the throngs of people. You're going about your business, just pushing the trolley, and boom, there they are. Those very people that you've been thinking about. I've had that experience, and I know some of you have had too. Or it might be in some other place, but in quite a remote way, your paths just cross and you have a God moment where you connect and see in it. That is very, very special. You'll know if you've had that because you do remember those times. So Simeon, he goes over to them and he took the baby in his arms. And I'm going to pick up our little babe in the manger today and just hold, because it's good to remember that we're only talking about a babe as we think about Simeon and the babe. So he goes over and it tells us that Simeon praised God. And then Simeon spoke these words: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now can dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. My eyes have seen your salvation. You know, Jesus was probably only 40 days old when that offering was made by Mary for her firstborn son. It was an offering of saying, I'm giving back my son to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? He came from God, and Mary, as an act of faith, gave that offering as a sign to be giving back. Simeon saw a baby just 40 days old. And yet he knew this was the long-awaited salvation, and not just for the Jewish people, but for Gentiles as well. What a moment of praise that must have been. I love the words in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, all mankind, no matter what our ethnic background or our status is, we're all part of that in the world. That whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. That is the greatest gift of all. I've got a little Christmas decoration that I've brought along this morning. It's a little red box wrapped up as a gift. I like to put that out with my Christmas gifts. It's not for anyone, it's for everyone. And it so reminds me of what that first Christmas was all about, God's gift to mankind. And my prayer is today for all of us here and for you at home or wherever you might be watching this, that you too will know that Christmas gift of eternal life is yours to have and to know. And it comes by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon went on to say, this was a light for revelation. Yes, a special supernatural revelation that Jesus is the light of the world. But wait, there's more. Simeon then went on to look to speak to Mary and to give her a special word of a prophecy. But before he did, I missed one little bit that I must just say. Mary and Joseph, after he had said those words, the Bible tells us, marvelled at his words. Imagine how you would feel having those words said to you. And yet this is another link in a very long chain for them in knowing that they, Mary and Joseph, were on divine business. And then it says, Simeon blessed them. We don't know what he said, but it was a great word of encouragement. And then Simeon turned to Mary and he said these very powerful words. This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Have a look this morning at the manger scene and what stands behind it. Yes. It's the cross. We have deliberately set this up this way throughout all of our Advent series. This was the journey that Jesus was on from the cradle to the cross. And Simeon, in this reading, refers to the Old Testament and he speaks of Christ fulfilling this. Life would not be easy, as we can see, and not all people would believe. How do you think Mary's heart felt on that day when she saw her beloved son give his life so that we could know forgiveness of sin? Yes, her heart was pierced. We know Mary is a thinker. We heard that in our Advent series already. And what an amazing prophecy was given over Mary. I don't think any mother would want to hear those words about a child that they had just born. But remember, this babe is the Messiah. This is the one whose calling was to die upon a cross, so that we might know forgiveness of sin. And now to Anna, the other person in this passage. She too is a senior, 84 years old, just married for only 7 years, and then she became a widow, and there is no reference to her having a family or children. Where has she spent all her life? Well, in the temple, fasting and praying. She is also called a prophetess. Now, that's not a title given to very many people. So this is one special woman of God. And she did proclaim a divine message. And another miraculous event happened. She happened to just walk past when she saw Simeon holding the babe. And she knew without a doubt that this babe was very, very special. She too gave thanks to God and she spoke about the baby Jesus to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. I can only just imagine the joy in both of their hearts of Simeon and Anna. Here they were seeing the Saviour of the world. And Simeon now, he's happy. He can now die. having seen the Christ. He knew that God was at work and that he would see indeed the purpose of God. He may not have been at the cross when Jesus died. He was very old. He might not have lasted another 30 years. But he had that wonderful promise that God would provide, and he believed in faith that that would happen. He fully believed in the Messiah coming, and he saw it. And Anna sure would have had a very precious praise time that night as she reflected with her God on all that she had seen. And the scene then closes. Mary and Joseph head back to Nazareth, to their own town. What a conversation they would have had on the way back. So many wonderful anthems had been sung over them in the preceding months, and there's much to contemplate and to think about. Do you long for God to speak to you and to give you a special anthem to say or to sing? The four Christmas stories that we've looked at this Christmas, they're not the usual run-of-the-mill that we would usually think about over Christmas. And yet, in a very special way, we have seen how personal God is and how he longs to work in the lives of ordinary, everyday people in these characters that we've looked at. But for me, as I've contemplated this, there is an amazing link in all four. Elizabeth was full of the Holy Spirit when she spoke to Mary. Zechariah is filled with the Spirit when he proclaims his word. The angels always have that amazing heart of worship. And Simeon, moved over and over again by the Holy Spirit. And Anna, that wonderful woman of God, led by the Spirit. And if you want to know God more, and someone actually asked me that question this week and said to me, I want to know God more. Then you know what? The answer is there in the link that we've just looked at with all those people that we've considered. How good it is to see in the kids' spot this morning that we have the Holy Spirit within us. We don't need a special outpouring and coming like had to happen in the Old Testament. When we become a personal believer of Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who wants to come on you and empower you and lead you in ways that is just so special and to give you a full and abundant life. Are you aware of the Holy Spirit at work in you? When you pray, do you see answers to your prayer and you look back and you praise the Holy Spirit for the way that he has led and guided you? I want to encourage you in this coming week to be looking as you pray, as you ask, as you go out, to be asking, Holy Spirit, empower me for what you've called me to be. Come and talk to me this morning or to someone else if you want to know more about your Christian walk. I think all of these stories point to us about how rich our life can be, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. And if you're listening and not able to be here this morning, the email comes up at the end. Write it down, send me an email, and I will reply to you and be very happy to journey with you in understanding more about living a life that is full of God's presence with you. And what song are you singing? I'm not talking about an anthem here, a footy anthem. I'm talking about what song of praise are you singing out from your life? All four of the anthems that we looked at praised God. We don't know what sort of a voice Mary, Zechariah, Simeon had. I don't know if they would have made it into the choir at the Meyer Music Bowl on Christmas Eve. But I do know this. They had a heart that was open to God and a heart that longed to know God more. And out of that, God gave them prophetic gifts and opportunities to praise. Age or status are not part of God's criteria. We see that in a teenage girl like Mary. We see that in old Anna and old Simeon. We see that in the shepherds who were the lowest of the lowest in the jobs. All of them part of the Christmas story because God is no respecter of persons. He loves all mankind and longs for all mankind to know of his goodness. I wonder if you will have something to praise God for on January 1. That's our time here at RCC to be able to give thanks. Thanks to God for the things that he's done. And I do want to just add, there'll be no live streaming on that day. We want to do that so that you can be personal. You can share without it going out and being beamed to the whole world. This will be just our personal time as we share together. And praising God is not just for Christmas. It's a joy that is ours for every day. And I was touched by the thought that it's our choice to praise. Bad things are going on all around us. Yes, this week one of our church families has lost a much loved family member. We all experience tough times in life. We have family members that have gone to hospital this week, and that causes great pain and loss. But in the midst of all of that, when we know the promises of God and we are trusting God for his outcome, we can have a heart of praise. And I'm going to ask as we sing our song that leads into communion, that that be your song of praise. And it is Light of the World. It's a wonderful reflection as to who Jesus is and what we can do. And may that be your song of praise today. And if you want to chat, make a point of doing that over morning tea. All right, we'll be happy to journey with you. God's blessing as we sing this song and lift up our hearts in praise. Thanks.